We're with me this morning to the Isaiah 45th chapter. We come here last Sunday. Kind of passed over it. Felt like it needed a little more attention.
Well, it can never get too much.
Yeah. Lest I forget later, I'll be gone the next two Sundays when I promised to do that. It was a long ways away. Now all of a sudden it's here. So,
yeah.
Be up cheap, Lord's willing, next two Sundays. Preacher up there, he's kind of anxious. He done sent me two texts. Confirming I was going to be, yeah. 45th chapter, book of Isaiah, verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates." "And the gate shall not be shut. And I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. And I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, and the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." And the Lord always calls without man's knowledge.
Yeah.
I marvel, again, quite often, that all the things that transpired all the way through the ages, and some of them seemed awful, like it isn't going to be any tomorrow,
yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
It was desperate time. But always the Lord was working everything out in his providential care, that all things would work together to good to them that love the Lord.
Amen.
And they are called. We must not leave that off. But we got an example here of Cyrus, whom he calls his anointing.
Yeah.
And then we look at Cyrus, we go back and check him out, and we see that he wasn't a godly man.
Right. No.
But he was used,
yeah,
of God. And I believe he is a, if you will, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ also, who delivered his people. And Cyrus delivered Israel.
Yeah.
Not by his own hand, but by the Lord's hand. And I'm quite sure he understood these things. Go back and study about him a little bit, and I'm sure he understood all these things. And you know, that's something I marveled at over the years, just, you know, reading a little history here and there. And even in our day, in my day, somebody may not be older in my day, we see that some of the greatest generals that we ever had attributed what they did unto God.
Yeah.
They understood these things, especially the greater the man seemed like, the more, when he is placed in that position, that he was content that the Lord was in charge, whether he won or lost. I think he understood that most men do general seemed like did understand it, and all of them were terribly ungodly men if you look at them too. But the Lord put them in place to do and carry out His will. If we back up to the 21st verse in Isaiah 44, though, we'll look at that a little bit. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. There we go, a servant. Going to do His will, His duty, and I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me. For I have redeemed thee. Sing. And that's in the past tense, you understand. He said, I have redeemed thee.
Yeah.
It is finished. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, and break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. And there again, He hath done it.
Yeah.
The things with the Lord are not tomorrow.
No.
it's always now,
right.
Immediately. The Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself.
Yeah.
He didn't need any help, did he? None of these things for His glory and by His will. That frustrated the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward and making their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of His servant and performeth the counsel of His messenger, that said to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up the rivers. You know what comes to mind here? Crossing the Jordan. Opened it up. And they walked across on dry ground. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, this is what Cyrus, the message he's going to carry, thou shalt be built. Into the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Now, a couple of weeks or more ago, I was reading here, and it come to me that we're talking about the temple, the old temple over there, in the temple of the Lord that is now.
Right.
Both of them come into sight. Reading these things, I thought once again about the most holy place, and it was open, the whole wall of it open. It was open from wall to wall and from floor to ceiling. Yet it had hinged doors, bifold doors, and it had a curtain, a veil within. And he talks here about opening the doors. He calls it gates here, but it's used back and forth all through the scripture. Could be a door, could be a gate, it's gated. All right. So these gates the gates shall not be shut. If the Lord's going to open them up. And this is not necessarily talking about now either with Cyrus. It's coming. It's look for it. It's coming. Going to open the gates. What's going to happen? The Lord's going to go in. That's another thing. That the most holy place is open to the east, wide open, signifying a new day is coming. A day of the Lord when He will rule for sure. Every knee will bow unto Him. And the gates, shall not be shut. Gonna make a crooked place straight. Gonna get all the rocks out of the road also. Be no stumbling there. Not when the Lord deems it necessary. His will be carried out in due time. Well, always we working with due time. The Lord never works with time in that sense. It's always our time. He made the day for man, not the man for the day. Make the crooked places straight. In the book of Psalms, the 24th chapter, some of this is really familiar to us. We sometimes don't read all of it. We just stop up midway. They said the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? That got to get into the most holy place. You understand? And the door must be open.
Yeah.
Or we can't enter in. And he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Amen.
And he doesn't really mean a real door here. Neither did he really mean a real door on the most holy place, except that it divided Him from us. He also, back at the Garden of Eden, He placed the cherubim there and the flaming sword. He shut the door. It must be open. So the Lord will open. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory?
Yeah.
The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And there can be no mistake about you. Do you understand that men even today that swear by the devil understand these things? Yeah. If they can get their conscience seared over a little, they can go the way of the natural man. And do all sorts of things. But there must be someone to open the door.
Right.
And that's always been the point in all of this. Someone to open the door. That, and I question, start with, when I begin to study these things about the temple, I question, what in the world is these doors doing on the most holy place? So I went back and I read it several times again. Yeah, they're there. But the most important part of it was the veil. The veil. Don't enter in behind the veil without the blood. You die. It will kill you. So there must be one to enter in through the veil,
right,
as well as the door. It must be open up for one to come. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And I look back to Sinai, when the Lord was giving the law to Moses, and we see the same thing. It was an awful, awful sight. The whole earth was shaking. The Lord shook it. Said he's going to shake it one more time.
Yeah.
But he shook it. And he shook it here. This is a shaking of it right here. And he said, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection. Now, there's a little argument about all that, but it doesn't make any difference. They come out of the graves, and they walked around town to confirm that this was Jesus Christ. And what is he doing? He's opening the door. Offering up the blood upon the altar to save his people.
Amen.
And where did they go? They went into the holy city and appeared unto many. When the old centurion saw it, they were quaking, imagine.
Yeah.
And those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I think it probably was evident to everybody there. My goodness, can you imagine graves opening up and folks coming out and walking around the city? What an awesome, awesome sight.
Yes.
My goodness, what confirmation that this was Jesus. No doubt about it. When the earth was shaking, they were quite sure that this was he. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, which we just read about, to give up the ghost, by a new and living way. Now, this is a new living way. After the resurrection. That's what we just read, after the resurrection. by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh.
Yeah.
And having a high priest over the house of God, we have that high priest.
Yeah.
He's come and he's the only one that could enter in through the veil.
Right.
And we enter in through the veil.
Yeah.
And the door is open. Up until now, it's been a flaming sword there.
Yeah.
Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Faith of Jesus Christ, now he's done. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What is the washing? Word of God cleanses man from all his sin.
The
Lord came to save his people from their sin.
Always a wonderful thing when you get just a glimpse.
Mm-hmm.
The glory of God. And the great glory of God is in His Son.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like it came to me during the night, last night, how more powerful than ever. How that there is no salvation outside of Jesus, because there can be no salvation outside of Him. We want to do everything that God commands, because the Spirit of Christ abides within us. But that desire did not come until God saved us.
Mm-hmm.
We were in total darkness.
Good.
The Bible speaks of God abiding in thick, thick darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think that the reason he's in such thick darkness is because we're the ones that's in the thick darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We can't see God because of the blackness of the darkness of our own hearts and souls and minds. But when he opens up those doors, JP, light floods in.
Mm-hmm.
And we begin to see him. We just begin to see him as he is. And that will be the ultimate of the glory of God being shown to us when we fully see him, as John records, as he is. But in the meantime, everyone that hath this hope in him, what does he do?
Purifies
himself. May God give us the grace today to go through that veil with Christ into that holy place. You do understand again that no man could enter into that place except the high priest one time a year. One time a year, one man could go into that holy place, but not without blood.
Right.
Even that man If he went in there without blood, he was a dead man. But we can enter into it. It's open to us. The veil has been rent, and it's open to us. But even we cannot enter into that place with known sin hanging over us. But thank God that He is the one that opens and no man closes. They try. Satan tries to close that door.
Amen.
And he cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Bruce, you think he really tries anymore? I don't know. Maybe. I know he places temptations before us and all that kind of thing, but I don't know.
Well, you know, it was this morning I was looking at this website on my phone. I think it's called Daily Mail or something like that. Just all different kinds of news items, current news items. And it really struck me. This one, and I didn't read the whole thing, I just noticed the caption, and it was one of the Kardashian girls, and she's wearing this a string bikini or thong or something like that that was designed by, it's a Gucci. And I thought, who cares about this thing? You know? And it's like, who could tell it was, you know, from Walmart or Gucci, you know? But it's nothing. It's legal to wear it, but it doesn't do anything.
Amen.
And so when I think about what's going on in the world and I see that kind of stuff, I'm thinking, you know what? People are becoming more and more immoral. And it's acceptable. I mean, so I think, you know, Satan is just running loose, and the world, I mean, it lies in wickedness. It just, the stuff that's happening is just amazing to me. And the fact that what JT was reading, what you've been saying, the whole reason we're here. And people, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. But the only way to be happy is to be obedient to this Word of God.
That's it.
And yet people are rejecting it, thinking that they're going to be happy outside of this. I mean, it's just, and today, I mean, today is the Sabbath. But to most people, it's the weekend.
That's what they play.
I mean, it seems to me like Satan is loose and he is deceiving the nations once more.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any question in my mind about that at all. And speaking of that, I mean, again, it's an amazing thing to me how they mix the world with religion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I saw an advertisement, they advertised the clothes, and it had these women wearing, you know, well, first of all, had these short shorts on, and they were ragged. You know, they like it. The more ragged their clothes can get today, the better they like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, then they had a shirt on, and on this shirt had all these, you know, scriptures.
Yeah.
On it. And another one had, you know, love God and all of these things, and Jesus on there. And, you know, it And it's evident that, you know, that they didn't have, well, not even the foggiest idea about what salvation is all about. And yet they've got to be, have this religious garments, so to speak.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Like people, they had more covering, but they had more scripture on them.
Yeah, on
too.
The sleeves
so, yeah.
And phylacteries and all that stuff to go with it. But it's all outward stuff. And yet they think that they are honoring God. And it's just really sad for their sakes.
Just making more noise.
That's it. All right. Open the gates. And God's the only one that can open them, too.